Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It is Friday. This is a new feature that we're doing. We hope that you heard our last show, which was on Sunday, introducing this new show that we're doing. This is going to be a shorter format show that Chris and I came up with. We're looking at Emmett Fox's Find and Use Your Inner Power, Find and Use Your Inner Power, also known as The Sparks of Truth. The Sparks of Truth. So it is a fantastic little book, and like all Emmett Fox material, is very down to earth, very clear and focused. We have done a few shows on Emmett Fox previously on the Golden Key, which is a little pamphlet that he uses where you learn how to use this technique he calls golden keying problems. It's fantastic. Check that show out if you'd like. We do have a full hour on that. We also did the 7-day mental diet more recently. And then previous to that, we did a show on Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount, which is his New Thought version of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. So the blessed be statements, blessed be the meek and so on. Is it the meek? I've completely forgotten the blessed be.
For
they shall inherit the earth. That's correct. So there are multiple blessed be statements. He breaks them down into a new thought, sort of positive thinking type vibe. And it is a very, very powerful book. Emmett Fox is very influential in the recovery community. And he seems to be quite popular with 12-step programs and people in recovery. And his material really seems to resonate. I know it resonated with me when I was going through recovery and dealing with some of my issues, and I think you as well, right?
Right. Well, he breaks things down in such a very simple way. And in particular, you know, the 12-step program, as we know it, does involve a spiritual component. And that is something that was always a sticking point. Not for everybody, but it was quite common that, you know, sometimes people drank over maybe a spiritual past that they had going to church forced by their parents or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So then to say, oh, now you have to have this spiritual thing, they may be spiritually wounded. So with Emmett Fox, he puts it in such a very logical, very terse, you know, there's not a lot of words. And you go, yeah, okay, well, I can do that. without having to buy into some, you know, elaborate religious system to get the spiritual component.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there's very little dogma and very little guilt-inducing sort of sermons and so on. Very practical, helpful, positive, spiritual, life-affirming type teachings, you know, that New Thought is famous for.
And the Christian language, you know, that he uses and many others, should not put anybody off. It's kind of like Course in Miracles or something that's really heavy with that language, mm-hmm. but it's not really the message, and it's not like the other places where you might get some of that language. It's really looking at that in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And very symbolic and psychological and very empowering as an individual.
Maybe closer to interpretations in the earlier Christian church before it became a powerful kind of political entity.
Yeah, and, much more mystical.
Yeah, and I think early Christianity in particular, especially some of the Gnostic movements and some of the more organic, smaller groups that met together, much more mystical, connected to, you know, the Greek mystery traditions and some, you know, Neoplatonic thought and a lot of the ancient Near Eastern mystical traditions and so on, Kabbalistic traditions from Judaism and so forth. So, you know, although, you know, New Thought doesn't touch on much of that, it still sort of borrows from that same lineage and that same tradition. So, you know, it's a different interpretation of those scriptures and those symbols and those figures. Much more life-affirming, much more inclusive, certainly not out to keep anyone out or to try to tell anyone they're going to hell or they're going to suffer if they don't believe this or that thing. And that really is, I think, the interpretation of those types of sacred stories from Christianity and from Judaism that resonate so highly with both you and I, right? So,
right.
All right, so let's get into this thing because we are trying to keep these a bit shorter than our normal shows, and I do tend to ramble. So I'm going to jump right in. This section is the second, it's the second installment. He wrote these weekly lessons, and I think they were published in a newspaper or something, or magazines or whatever they had back in the day, for his group, his work that he was doing. This one is entitled Cafeteria. So do you want to read it through and then we'll kind of break it down? Or do you want to maybe go paragraph to paragraph and we'll do it like we're in school? Let's do that. That's kind of fun.
Yeah,
we'll pretend we're in grade school. There's three. So you can start. I'll do the middle one, then you do the last one.
Okay, this is Emmett Fox, Cafeteria. Don't wait for something to turn up. Don't be content to let things drift along, hoping for the best. It is not spiritual to put up with inharmonious conditions. If the conditions of your life are not to your liking, you must get to work on your own consciousness, and by raising that above the outer picture, cause those conditions to become something nearer to your heart's desire. And you must keep on doing this until you find true place.
I had an amusing experience when I first came to America. He was from England, by the way. Passing an attractive looking restaurant, I went inside and, selecting a table, sat down and waited. Strangely as it seemed to me then, nothing happened. I sat there and continued to wait indefinitely, as it seemed. I could not understand the reason for this neglect. All around me, people were enjoying their food, and only I was left out in the cold. After a while, the truth of the situation slowly dawned on me. It was a cafeteria. This system had not yet made its appearance in England in those days. Looks like you're up, my friend.
I then quickly realized that while there was plenty of food of every kind to be obtained, one had to go forward and claim it for himself or go without. It's interesting that he didn't know what a cafeteria was. Well, I guess he realized it or something.
Yeah.
But he goes on to say the universe is run exactly on the lines of a cafeteria. Unless you claim mentally what you want, you may sit and wait forever. Of course, you should not claim in detail. That is outlining. But you must positively claim health, harmony, and true place if you really want those things.
All right, let us.
That's
cafeteria. Let us say what a cafeteria is, in case some people may not know. A cafeteria is like if you've been to IKEA, for example, or or at school when you're eating school lunch. You go through the line, you see stuff behind glass, you point at it, and they put it on your plate. That's a cafeteria. And then you pay at the end or what have you. So that's the idea of the cafeteria.
And then you go seat yourself.
And then you go seat yourself, yeah. So he probably didn't see the food line. He was probably in a side dining hall or something like that. These cafeterias back in the day actually were really quite nice. And they look like dining restaurants, with cloth napkins and so on. And there was busboys running around and so forth. There used to be a place in Pasadena that was open forever that was a cafeteria downtown. It was really actually quite nice, and it had been there since like the 20s. But it's just a different style of thing. So the point he's trying to make here is that, look, life is very much like that, right? So here's all these good things that are available to us, but we cannot make any use of them if we don't know the procedure, number one, and number two, claim them for ourselves. Claim them for ourselves, right? So this is where New Thought comes in. And if you're not familiar with New Thought or mind science, the idea is that you have to first believe something and create a mental image of it, a mental belief, a mental construct or archetype within yourself, and really believe and emotionally connect with the idea that that thing is in fact yours, right? So that's the biggest real, that's like New Thought basically in a nutshell. It's the idea that we talked about, actually we didn't talk about it. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, but we had to cut it out. But the point is we talked about Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich used to talk about how thoughts are things. In other words, there's a sort of a weight to them. The thoughts become the things. It's the same idea of, E equals MC squared, matter and energy are one. The energy is the thought and the matter is the thing itself. This is what's going on. But the thought precedes the thing. And that's the same thing we talk about, right, in the law of attraction. When you hold something that you want, that good which you seek in your life, and you, attract it to yourself. These are all basically New Thought ideas, right? So
Well, they are. And I think one of the things that gets lost in all that, especially nowadays, I believe Hill and some other people really underscored this, is that it's not just thinking about something. We can, you're not going to just, okay, mentally do, okay, I have a new car. Mm. It's not just a wish or an idea or a mental thought. Mm-hmm. It has to be catalyzed, you know, with a feeling. You have to imagine it as already having it. You have to praise it. You have to, you know, smell the car. If you want to get a new car, if you want to get that new car smell, that there's more involved in your senses. I think it's too easy in this information age mm-hmm. to just have an idea thought. Oh,
and that's a great point.
Look up something online and then you get the so-and-so went to this school and they were born in this place. And, you know, Wikipedia, you can just, you have so much access to this thought information or this, you know, kind of factoid type of thing. This, it's beyond that. It's something you have to feel in your heart. So to call it new thought really only tells half the story. And actually the small half, the big half is when that thought is brought into your heart and you're embracing it, you're embodying it, you're ensouling it, as Manly Hall would say.
Yeah.
In such a way that it becomes a living presence, not just a passing thought or a sandcastle, you know, in the clouds or, you know, because I think that's where a lot of this gets mistaken. It's, well, I thought about a new car all day long. I didn't get one. You know, with yeah. some of the secret and things like that. It's more than just the thought of the idea. It's something that you're breathing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, can't wait to get home and work on your project that you're, you know, sure, thinking exactly. of.
Well, and that's a great point. And I think, you know, if you read any of these books or you study extensively any of these systems, New Thought, Mind Science, you know, Science of Living, Reverend Ike's movement, or any of these new things, Bob Proctor and his stuff and that law of attraction, the Hickses and so on, you know, they do get into that as you move along. I think the surface of it is if you only watch 5-minute videos on YouTube, you get the idea of, you're right, of just thinking about stuff. But, you know, as you go deeper into these ideas, they do emphasize that emotional nature, the heartfelt nature, the visualization, the depth at which you need to go, and then the work that you need to do these things. You need to also hit the ground running and do your part. You need to do your part and, you know, take actions in that direction and so on. You know,
and that's what this cafeteria is really all about, is your yeah. part. You have to know what you want.
Yep.
And then ask for it. And if you don't know what you want, I would say ask for that.
Yeah.
I'm visualizing the knowledge that I'm going to get of what it is I want to do or what's good. What is my heart's desire? If you don't yeah. know it, well, that can be your heart's desire, the yearning to find out what is your calling.
You're absolutely right about that. And I think sometimes people forget you can use these same laws to figure things out. You absolutely can. And I just heard, and I think I mentioned this in one of the other, podcasts. I can't remember exactly which one, but Joseph Murphy has a great affirmation for that. It's very short. It's, I'm in my true place. I am doing what I love to do. I am divinely happy. I am divinely prospered. You know, it's a simple affirmation, but it, you know, it sets you in that mindset and you're claiming that. And, you know, Reverend Ike, if you're not familiar with about yet, we're going to do a show on him coming up this Sunday. So do listen for that. Reverend Ike would talk about how, and actually Joseph Murphy did this as well. I am was one of the words that is used in the Bible when Moses asks God who he is. He says, I am that I am, asher ehe in Hebrew. And basically then, you know, the idea is that this I am is this living presence, this God within, this God without, all around, that is the primal sort of substance of the universe. And anything then after saying I am, you're connecting with that God consciousness, that divine energy within yourself, and you're going to help to make that manifest. So that I am is such a powerful statement. Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot different than I want
or I wish, or
I'd sure like.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't that be nice?
Exactly. It's claiming it. It's claiming it. Yeah. It's going up to the cafeteria and saying, you know, I am meatloaf. I am, a side of potatoes. And, you make those things happen. So, this is that clarity. And I like what you were saying, though. It goes beyond thought. It's an emotional and heartfelt response. There's faith involved. But even Jesus talked mm-hmm. about that as well. It's a very common Christian idea.
You're going to go up against, the world, maybe your spouse, your job, the life environment in which you mm-hmm. live, might not be all on board with your heart's desire. There will be challenges if you want to start a business or learn a skill, start a nonprofit.
Sure.
There's immense challenges with just about anything you really want to do.
Exactly.
And sometimes it can get really discouraging and, take the wind out of the whole situation. But that's why having this, strong idea and clear idea mm-hmm. of what it is and having that heart,
that connection, heartfelt connection. Yes, yeah, the emotional connection.
So you get shut down by somebody then that's okay. Not what I wanted to hear, but you still have your thing. You're not going to be tossed and twisted and turned about by, the weather around you.
No,
that's exactly. The reason why, this thing has to, otherwise it's just a passing wish or it's a hopeful thought. But wow, when it's something that gets in your core, sometimes the adversity on the outside can cause you to double down and dig my heels in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it should. It absolutely should. And that's where that emotional connection, that faith, carries you over. Weak desire brings weak results, is a well-known saying, right?
I like hearing that. Yeah.
That's true. A little bit of faith or lack of faith brings, a little bit of results or no results at all. And so, faith is one of these things. And again, it's like Napoleon talked about this a lot in Think and Grow Rich. Faith is something you use in yourself. So if you say to yourself, well, I don't really have faith, using that law against yourself, you've got to use the law, use the mind science, use the new thought to build your faith. And then your declarations, your affirmations, your desires, your claimings of good and so on will have power behind them, and you've got to say something like, I have great faith. I have confidence in the divine power within me to achieve all that I want. And, things like this, right? There's great affirmations online. And, like I said, you can check out Emmett Fox or Joseph Murphy or Reverend Ike or Ernest Holmes or, there's a million people out there. Della Reese from The Secret does a lot of the new thought stuff. She's fantastic. The Hickses. I could go on and on and on, but you know what I'm talking about. So the point is find these affirmations to build your faith or write your own, write your own and build that faith up, build that confidence up. And what Chris was saying earlier too, is important to think about it. It's like, the clearer that you can make that picture, like you see the, so let's say you want to build a nonprofit. You see the building that you want to be in. You go inside. You walk around. You see the people that the community that you're serving. You see, abundant funds coming in to help you to do the work that you need to do. And you visualize all of these things in very vivid details. You really get a strong emotional connection to that when you can make it that powerful and see the smiles on people's faces when they're like receiving the good that you're doing and things like that, right? So I think that's really, really important stuff. He talks right in this last thing again about true place. So I want to just kind of remind you that affirmation again is, I am in my true place. I am doing what I love to do. I'm divinely happy. I'm divinely prospered. And it doesn't really matter what order you do those in, but you can do them in any order. So anyway, those are something to think about. Those are things you can use to find yourself in your true place. And you say, well, I'm not in my true place. I'm in this crappy, tiny one bedroom apartment in Van Nuys with cockroaches and I'm in a shitty job that I don't like and blah, blah, blah. Well, you're affirming to yourself that you're in your true place. You're doing what you love to do. You're divinely prospered, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to create the situation. You got to build it first. You got to build it in your mind. You can't focus on the things that you're dealing with. That's the outside. That's the sort of, that's the situation or the circumstances or the material, conditions. You don't want to focus on the conditions. You want to focus on the inner spiritual resources you have to create something completely different. You have to do that in a present tense fashion. I am this, I have that, I do this, things like that, right? You don't want to put it off into the future when you're doing those affirmations like that. Is that what you understand as well?
Well, I do. And even though in the present moment, yes, you might be in a crappy apartment and yep. a job that doesn't respect you.
Sure.
And you don't have a car or all this stuff, or you're lonely. You don't have yep. loving friendships or relationships in your life. If you dwell on that, you are reaffirming that.
Exactly.
You already know that, actually. Okay. I think you probably already
you need to
know.
Not
Otherwise,
know that.
Why would you want to change?
Yeah, exactly.
You know you're broke. You know you're in a lame job in a lousy apartment. But don't keep reinforcing that. And by saying, I am prosperous and I am happy, well, then those are things that aren't really dependent upon a job or an apartment. Those other things can be mm-hmm. temporary and transient. What endures is your true yeah. place. No matter where your body, you could be in prison yeah. and be in your true place in your heart and your soul. Whether you did something bad or were unfairly accused and convicted, doesn't matter. The point is, you know, you can keep that internal, and that's where it grows, and that's where it's strengthened, and it can transcend these outer conditions. And that's actually what you want to do anyway. If you are trying to improve some aspect of your life, you do want to transcend the condition that you're in, but you do it from where you are. It's like a runner at the start of the race. You know, you really need a starting block, and you dig your foot in and you get a good push off, you know, to, sure. to get a good start to the race. You can't, if it's just mushy or if you're denying it, then you're stuck in the mud. And then if you're saying, well, no, I'm not going to run. How can I run? I'm stuck in this apartment. Well, then you're not going to get off the block.
Exactly. So exactly. Because you're creating those very conditions, right?
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's a great way to put it.
One thing he says at the end mm-hmm. here, I kind of wanted
yeah,
to
no. talk
mention. He said, just run, the universe is run along the lines of a cafeteria. Unless you claim mentally what you want, you may sit and wait forever. Of course, you should not claim in detail. That is outlining. So that's a specific term he's using, outlining. Yeah. That's when you're saying, you know, yes, I want to start my nonprofit. And you may have a vision of where you want that building to be and the kind of work you're doing and everything. But if you get too specific, well, that, you know, we're going to have this in the cafeteria yeah. on Thursdays yeah. and you're mired in all these deals. It has to happen in a certain way. Well, I need the money to start my campaign. So I'm going to do a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And then if you're just focused on that, you're not really focused on other avenues of money. Yes, I'm going to do an online crowdfunding.
Yeah, but you don't get hung up.
I'm keep my eyes open yeah. wherever it comes. And yeah, it comes yeah. from odd sources, but your vision can still be clear. But the kind of the way the operation of the universe, I think, he's saying that it's probably better left to
absolutely.
The universal
forces. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of the major tenets of all these new thought philosophies, regardless of what church you hear it from or what movement you hear it from. It is all about not outlining and allowing the divine mind, you know, the spiritual source, to sort out the details. Yes, have a clear picture. It doesn't mean that you don't have a clear picture with hard edges to it, things that you want. But don't say, oh, it's got to happen through, you know, this specific government funding, or I'm going to go to Microsoft and get a, you know, a grant from them and to do my nonprofit, or it's definitely going to happen XYZ way, or I'm not going to do it. It's saying, be open to the surprises and the miraculous things that the universe can give you. Do the work, go to those different foundations, you know, fill out your paperwork, do all the things, but then be open to surprises and know that you don't always know the way that things are going to unfold. That's not outlining. So, all right, well, we're going to call it. I'm going to keep this yeah. nice and concise, unless you have anything else to offer.
I think that's it.
All right, so go to the cafeteria.
Ask for what you want.
Go to the cafeteria and don't forget to get in line. Don't go sit down. Go get in line and look and see what you want to eat and claim you're good and have a good meal. That's the cafeteria. All right, so we'll be here again next Friday. It's called the next one's going to be called Worm Gets Ideas. So that should want you to that should want to make you tune in. He's got great titles on all these. So thanks for joining us on our Fox Friday show. We're going to be here every Friday with a new one of these shorter shows. And thank you again. We're Cosmic Eye. I am Jason Napolitano. Thank you, Chris Sheridan. We'll see you next Friday.